Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
If I'm elected president, our friends and allies across the globe will know that we stand with them. The bust of Winston Churchill will be back in the Oval Office, and the American embassy in Israel will be in Jerusalem. Amen. Enemies across this world will know the United States is not to be trifled with. ISIS will be defeated. We will have a president willing to utter the words radical Islamic terrorism. The Ayatollah Khamenei will understand that he will never, ever, ever acquire nuclear weapons. Here at home, we'll reignite the promise of America. Young people coming out of school with student loans
up to their eyeballs. Ted Cruz did great last night. Do you know that anyone on that stage would make for a great president? Welcome to the Savage Nation. After the years that we have put up with this race-baiting, American-hating, immigrant-loving, I don't have enough words to describe what this creature in the White House has done to this country. And by the way, he's ramping up to do worse. He's trying to sign up as many immigrants as he can before the election, just as I predicted he would do in Government Zero and on this radio show numerous times. This enemy of the Constitution, this enemy of America, this enemy of everything decent about this country, this shady character in the White House, this imposter, is going to encourage immigrants to become citizens in time to vote in November of 2016. So let's look at the polls. There's only two polls I trust, the Drudge poll and the Newsmax poll. All the rest are fake. And the Drudge poll of 648,000 votes shows Trump winning at 52%. And the rest are kind of, you know, Fiorina got 22%, Cruz 6%. Who else showed up? Rubio showed a pulse. I don't like Rubio. I think that he's a complete fraud. I think Rubio is too thin for the job. He sounds like a kid. And I think he's a construct of some very powerful special interests. And that's all I would say. I don't particularly care for him. Bush is a complete Bush family, you know, continuation of the establishment. I'm not for establishmentarians. I want something new. I do not like dynasties in the United States of America, which is why I oppose Hillary Clinton, amongst many other reasons. Carson, very nice, very intelligent, very intellectual, very soft, very smart, but not a president. Sorry. He'd be the president of a college. Yes, he could be a soft-spoken president of a college. That's about it, or on the board of a corporation. But what else? Don't you understand what we're talking about here? Why do you think Trump is surging, even though he's all over the map on issues, number one? And number two, even though he doesn't have answers to all the questions as specifically as some of the dunces in the media would like him to have, the gotcha people, the fools in the media think that you have to have all the answers. Well, let me tell you something, you don't. What you need is good people to run things for you, number one, and you need to know where to look for the facts. My best college professor said, don't worry about the facts because I'm not going to give you a quiz. I just want you to know how to look up the answers. That was the best teacher I ever had. Why doesn't someone tell that to Jake Woodpecker or to the would-be talk show host who no one remembers his name from the Unknown Network, the Bush League Network. I don't know where they got him from. And speaking of that, I want to finish the thought. The reason Trump is surging is not because he knows the facts or that his litmus test has been passed by all of the, quote, popes of the conservative movement. All of the popes and the deacons and the archbishops, is he conservative enough? Did he pass my litmus test that I have on a toilet wall? All these fools who think that they're running something, they're running nothing. The reason Trump is surging is because he's strong, he's got charisma. Let's boil it down. In other words, he's got guts. He sounds like a man. And he speaks strongly. He's got confidence, in other words. And what America needs after this con man who has run this country down, run it off the rails, destroyed the military, destroyed the minds of our children in the schools, is somebody with guts to stand up for America. They figure he'll figure it out once he's in office. And that's why he's surging. So if you want to be one of those dunces and say, did he pass my litmus test on this or that, you're being a fool. You'd be like those idiots in the talk radio business who think that they actually control anything. And speaking of idiots in the media, I don't know what got into Ann Coulter. Look, I'm not a fan of Ann. I think that her time came and went a long time ago. People don't know this, but I'm one of the first hosts in America to have ever had her on radio back in 94. I'll remember the day. I liked her then. And then something happened. And then she continued to play the act that was long dead. She's not 30, the flipping of the hair, the legs, the wild, crazy, conservative, bomb-throwing girl. Last night she sends out a tweet. How many effing Jews do these people think there are in the United States? After several candidates in Republican debate stressed the improved U.S. ties with Israel, I said this can't be true. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. She posted these, I would think, anti-Semitic tweets at the end of the Wednesday Republican debate, accusing the candidates of pandering to Jewish voters, including one posing the hypothetical question, how many effing Jews do these people think there are in the United States? Now, I could see her criticizing making Israel more important than America. That would be one thing. But when you attack Jews instead of Israel's policies, you've crossed the line, Ann. You made a mistake. You touched the third rail, and you're going to be cast into the third world of the media after this. It's terrible. Coulter concluded her Twitter insanity by offering, quote, how to get applause from GOP donors. One, pledge to start a war. Talk about job creators. Three, denounce abortion. Four, cite Reagan. And five, cite Israel. I will ask you this question on the Savage Nation. Who other than Ann Coulter has committed media suicide during or after these debates? Who else made embarrassing debate comments such as, well, they should have picked me to run the debates. No, they wouldn't do that. I'm too smart. Who in the media has made a complete ass of themselves other than Ann Coulter? Now, let's go back to the debate itself. See, the whole debate was set up as a fraud. We knew that going in. We knew that the RNC set it up to have Trump fall. We know that. But he didn't. He rose. Because if a man's big enough, he'll overcome the impediments. But I would have answered every question that moron, Jake Woodpecker, threw at me by answering questions I wanted to answer. I would have said, Jake, I'll answer your question this way. What are Hillary Clinton's greatest policy failures? No. I ask the questions. You answer my questions. I'd say, okay, Jake, what charges would you bring against Hillary Clinton if you were president? Now, you stop it now. I ask the questions. And if you don't answer them, what are you going to do to me? Let me ask another question. And he asks another question. And every Republican should have come back and said, Jake, would you indict Obama for any crimes if you were president? My friends, this was a disgrace. It was a setup to ridicule Republicans and Trump. And the real empty suit there, the empty skirt, is Hillary Clinton. Here is a woman who is hiding behind the skirts of that monster, whatever her name is. I don't remember her name. The one from Florida, from Brooklyn, who knows where she's from. That fish mouth. That fish mouth embarrassment of the Democrat machine. So the question is, how could Hillary hide from a debate and then criticize the Republican debate while she herself has none? So she sends out the tweets, which, by the way, were not erased. She sent out tweets which were not wiped clean, attacking the Republicans, and she refuses to debate anybody. I would have asked every question that was asked of the Republicans of Hillary Clinton. I would have asked every question. Number one, Mrs. Clinton, can we feel comfortable with your finger on the nuclear codes when many people believe you're responsible for the death of the ambassador to Libya and the destruction of Libya itself? Two, Mrs. Clinton, your experience in government is very interesting because everything you've touched has failed. Many people believe that the flood of refugees and the meltdown in the Middle East is a result of your foolish, maybe well-meaning, but your foolish Arab Spring concept, which has resulted in the meltdown of governments across the Middle East. Mrs. Clinton, are you embarrassed by what you have done in the Middle East? Then they asked Bush a question about money. And they said, Trump said that your $100 million you've raised makes you a puppet for your donors. I would say, Mrs. Clinton, don't you think that the hundreds of millions of dollars that you and your husband have raked in for the Clinton Library makes you a puppet for foreign governments? Can you please answer that? Mrs. Clinton, what would you do right now if you were president to get the Russians out of Syria, since we're supposedly be fighting with them against ISIS? Want me to go down the list? Oh, I'll go down the list. You know why? Because my team did more homework than anyone in radio. They have all 53 questions that were asked last night, which I have then re-engineered to ask of the person who they should have been asked of, Hillary Clinton, the imaginary candidate. This is the Savage Nation. Here are some of the poll results from Drudge. I gave them to you. The Newsmax poll shows very similar results, which is very interesting. Different audiences, but some crossover. As I said, Drudge showed Trump at 52%. Newsmax shows Trump at 46%. Fiorina is shown at 22% on Drudge. It's shown at 20% on Newsmax. Rubio comes in at, where is old Rubio? I can't find Rubio here. He's there somewhere. Where did he go? Bush, Carson, Christie, Cruz, Fiorina. Oh, Rubio, 6% on Drudge, 9% on Newsmax. Carson, 9% on Newsmax. I won't compare him. Cruz, 6%, Kasich, 3, Christie, 2, Bush, 1.4, Rand Paul, 1.2, Huckabee, 1.04, Scott Walker, 0.4. You know, it's interesting. I think Huckabee's a great candidate, a great guy, very smart. I have a whole new respect for him as I've watched him emerge. Do I think he could beat Hillary? I'm not sure he might. As I said earlier, don't get me wrong. Any one of those men or that one woman on that stage would be better for America than the creature from the Black Lagoon waiting in the wings. Any one of them might just might clean the country up and save America. Just any one of them. Trump would do the best job. Rubio would do the worst job of all of them because he's a puppet of special interests, mainly Silicon Valley. The best I can figure it out, he's owned by several groups in Miami. And, of course, Larry Ellison of Oracle shocked everyone 2 months ago when he came out supporting Rubio. The next day, Rubio came out supporting more H-1B visas for illegal aliens in order to make certain that more Indians come in and steal the jobs from American IT workers. That feel like chalk on a blackboard? That just upset you a little bit? Because that's exactly what Rubio did once Larry Ellison supported him. It's that embarrassing. So I would put an X through Rubio. He's not trustworthy. The others are good guys. She's okay, but Fiorina is not a player. I remember when she ran for the governorship of the state of California, and she lost. And she lost for one main reason. She lost because of her history at the company she worked at, where she fired 30,000 people. That's number one. And number two, she lost because she would not take a stand against the hordes of illegals that were sucking California dry. She would not come out against illegal immigration. So don't expect her to change her spots. She was very good last night. It was very sad to hear she lost a child to drugs, drug abuse. That was a very touching moment, and I felt for her. But I'm sorry, she's not presidential material. Maybe she's another one who would be good running the University of California or another university. She's not ready for the national stage. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Most of the country could care less about the debate last night. Look at the sad state of the New York Post. Headline, meet the students living in million-dollar dorms. Jessica Alba says she was body checked by Kylie's goons. Busting out, Kate Upton's cleavage steals the show at NWFW. These are the headlines on the New York Post, if you can believe it. But the front page is even worse. The Trump hatred of Murdoch Jr. is overwhelming. Beautiful Carly Trumps to Donald. Utter rubbish. First of all, she's not beautiful. She's what we would have called in high school, I can't say it on the air, I don't mean to offend people. That's a beautiful woman? What do you mean beautiful Carly Trumps to Donald? I don't want to go into looks. That's not the issue. But looks, she doesn't have. And if I were the moderator, which I certainly wouldn't be because they wouldn't pick me, but if I were the moderator, I would have asked the Republicans these questions. What are Hillary Clinton's greatest policy failures? I would have gone down the list saying you each have 30 seconds to answer that. Then I would have said to all of them, what charges would you bring against Hillary if you became president? The next question would be, would you indict Obama for any crimes if you became president? The next question would be, which federal departments would you reduce in size or eliminate when you become president? The next question would be, how would you defeat ISIS? The next question would have been, do you plan on holding Black Lives Matter and other racist groups like them accountable for their actions? The next question would have been, how do you plan on making our military strong again? Instead, they made the Republicans look like idiots by attacking them. But that's what you'd expect from a double talker like Jake Woodpecker or the unknown host from the Bush League network. MAL, Carol, go ahead. 30 seconds or less. What do you think of the debates?
Yeah, well, I was a Trump supporter. I was a heavy Trump supporter. And when he made the comment about Fiorina, not that I specifically favor her, but I thought it was gratuitous, and I thought it revealed a character flaw, a big one.
You mean he's the only one with a character flaw because he says that she's ugly?
No, let me just say.
I said it already. I think you're a Democrat plant trying to undermine Trump. You know you never supported him or any other Republican.
Honest.
If you did, you'd be a thoughtful person, and you would say, you know what, see, he's an idiot on women, or he has a problem with women, but that doesn't disqualify him. Why would that disqualify him?
Finish. He came up empty. Last night...
Okay, so now you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton, is that it, because of that one remark?
No, I want to vote for Jindal. Or I want to vote...
Jindal? Are you kidding me? Jindal couldn't win a popularity contest in Mumbai. Jindal has no charisma whatsoever. How could you ever think that man could be president? I don't know. Look, we're going to get him today. We're going to get them all. Right here on the Savage Nation.
Donald Trump said the following about you. Quote, look at that face. Would anyone vote for that? Can you imagine that, the face of our next president? Mr. Trump later said he was talking about your persona, not your appearance. Please feel free to respond what you think about his persona.
Oh, let's stop right there. You know, I'd like to say the same thing about the moderator. Take a look at that face. Would you want that face on a dollar? Would you like the face of deceit? Would you like the empty suit on a dollar, for God's sakes? What an embarrassment. I mean, I've known this guy for years. He tried to get me many years ago. Then he tried to get me again recently. He's a loser. He's a low feeder, a bottom feeder. And you know what's amazing to me? How the New York Post has shifted so drastically since, who's the owner? I forget his name, the old man. I can't remember him. Murdoch gave the reins to his children. It's become a complete left-wing newspaper. Headline, beautiful Carly dominates the Trump. Clearly Trump's a dumb. Carly Fiorina takes victory lap after debate. Carly Fiorina's breakout performance won her the most new Twitter followers. So why is Murdoch promoting Fiorina? Because he knows that Hillary can beat her. Because he's in all the way for Hillary Clinton, in my opinion. The entire news corporation, from Martha Washington on Fox News, all the way up and down the line, New York Post, magazines that he owns, they're all out to get Trump because he can beat Hillary and they want Hillary to win. So there it is. I mean, that's the analysis. Thank you very much for listening. I'm glad that you joined me today. Good night and good luck. That's the whole show. What do you want to talk about other than this garbage? There's a lot of other news out there. I'll get to it eventually. But the debate is already old news. What year is this? 2015. What month is this? September. When is the election? Get back to me next September? 2016? Maybe most Americans might pay attention then. Can you give it a break for about a year? Because most Americans, they heard about the debate. Maybe they watched it, but they really don't care. They know a few things by now. They know Trump is going to be the winner on the Republican side. And they know that Hillary Clinton, the liar, is hiding and won't debate anybody. Because her poll numbers are sinking. And the more they see of Hillary, the less they like her. therefore Trump wins, which is a real shock and a fright. So I don't know what you want to talk about. I have other topics. I'm not ready for them yet. I'll make the switch soon. I'll play Bobby Darin somewhere beyond the sea. And I actually watched the debate last night. I'd rather read my horoscope on air than talk about what Carly Fiorina says. But let's take some calls. Okay, here we go. Let's go. Let's see what we have here. Here we go. Here's another Trump basher. Will on KSFO, go ahead, please.
Oh, I'm not a Trump basher. I'm along with you. Totally. I think that Jake Tapper was a Democratic shill. You know, his theme song is Warren G's Regulate. He completely screwed it up. At least he iced out Dana Bash and Hugh Hewitt. At least he made them look like idiots. But don't you think...
Hugh Hewitt is an unrated talk show host from a Bush League network. They chose him because he will do their bidding. Do you understand that? He's the representative, so-called, of the conservatives. He is not a conservative talker of any power whatsoever. No one listens to him. He's always chosen by networks to be, quote, radio talk show host. He has no audience. He's not in the top 10. He's nobody.
But how really do you think Donald knew they were coming after him? For God's sakes, Michael, don't you think that Donald knew that Rolling Stone completely screwed up Stanley McChrystal and wiped him out by reporting that his officers were calling Joe Biden, Joe Bite Me? Don't you think that he knew that Rolling Stone was going to screw him over? Don't you think he knew that that was going to happen? Don't you think he at least should have said, I'm on my jet, I'm watching TV.
Wait, hold on. What is Rolling Stone and McChrystal? Hold on. You're leaving me in the dust here. You just jump cut from Trump to Rolling Stone and McChrystal. What's the relationship?
Well, Rolling Stone, it was a Rolling Stone article that wiped out, that finished McChrystal. You know,
I understand, but what does that have to do with Donald Trump?
She should have known he had the Rolling Stone guy with him for 10 days. He should have known that Rolling Stone was going to screw him over.
Okay, but we weren't reading Rolling Stone last night. People were rolling joints and eating whatever, but the thing is, what does that have to do with last night's debates? I'm not following you, Will.
What I'm trying to say is Donald Trump should have known that Rolling...
All right, I'm sure he did. I thank you for your listenership. I appreciate it. One more day like this, and I'm going to go into sports radio. How about the vaccination question? You know who the big winner was? Trump. By the way, the illiterate moron, Jake Woodpecker, tried to trip him up on vaccination and try to make him into a clown. So he sets him up on vaccinations, and Trump gives the most intelligent answer I've ever read. He said, I'm in favor of vaccinations, but they do damage to children. They have to be given in smaller dosages over longer periods of time. That was an extremely intelligent answer, and the reason I know it was is because when they asked Dr. Carson the same question, Dr. Carson agreed with Donald Trump. It didn't work for them. And what's interesting is the same left-wing vermin that attacked Dr. Carson a few weeks ago and called him every name under the sun and dismissed him, they're in love with Dr. Carson now, aren't they? All of the good liberals who use blacks, Hispanics, gays, lesbians, all of these good liberals are embracing Dr. Carson as a genius all of a sudden. Why? Because they figured they could use him to undermine Donald Trump. They're so naked in their machinations that everyone can read right through them. So let's calm down a little bit. I'm only going to do this for a little while, and then we'll do the other stories of the day. And there are some. She didn't raise interest rates. Grandma did not raise interest rates. Janet Yenta, she runs the Federal Reserve somewhere in a toilet. Where does she run the Federal Reserve out of? Her grandmother's house in Brooklyn? I don't know what money she runs the Federal Reserve. Anyway, she didn't raise the rates. There she is. Grandma came out and said, nope, we're not raising the rates. No rate rise after all. So the gangsters of Wall Street can continue to rage. There will be no taxation, by the way, of hedge fund operators, I can guarantee you. They're far more powerful than you may imagine. They control the entire country. They're the smartest people in the world. You know, say hedge fund manager, they're like your uncle, your brother, your father. What do you think, they're stupid? They're not evil. They're capitalists. They're making money. They're making it the way they know how to make it. And so the hedge funds, they're all, not all evil, they actually build businesses too, you know. Most of you don't know what a hedge fund is, but I won't bother explaining it to you. They are running the major corporations today. So they are America. Now, should they pay higher taxes? Yeah, that's certainly something I like to see everyone do, which is anyone who's paying such low taxes, such as Warren Buffett, should pay higher taxes, for example. Microsoft should pay their fair share of taxes. Facebook should pay their fair share of taxes, certainly. But, you know, the new boogeyman is now the hedge fund operator. What is a hedge fund? Do you know what it actually is? Everyone, hedge fund, that's the new boogeyman, the hedge fund. What else is in the news? Who knows what's news? Wiener out of his job at powerhouse PR firm. Federal air marshals under investigation for filming sex with a... Come on. I'm not interested in this stuff. Let me go to my own website and see what I put up. And what happened to you? Coulter accused Republican candidates of pandering to effing Jews. Really? This already made it to the Israeli newspaper? Uh-oh. Ann Coulter tweeted, how many effing Jews do these people think there are in the United States? Uh-oh. What happened to old Ann? Ann Coulter then doubled down and said, Cruz, Huckabee, Rubio all mentioned Israel in their response to, what will America look like after you're president? How many effing Jews do these people think there are in the United States? Ann, you're starting to sound like a mean Irish drunk from the 1950s. The kind of Irish drunk who would go into a bar and have 10 shots and go out and beat up a Yid. Ann, I'm surprised at you. You must have had something happen to you when you were a little kid to say a thing like that. You could have said, why does Israel dominate American politics, Ann? But you didn't, did you? Instead, you made it very personal about Jews, Ann. Surely you have Jewish friends. Controversial conservative pundit Ann Coulter, by the way, she's a has-been, incidentally. And she was hot 20 years ago. I mean, the flipping, here's the whole reason. You have to ask, why does she do a thing like this? Who would commit suicide like that on a tweet? First of all, who tweets? People make mistakes when they tweet, when you can't take them back. They go out to a lot of people. So my advice to you is, if you're a public figure, stop tweeting. You're not that desperate for attention, are you? Get a dog. Talk to a dog. The next time you want to tweet, pour a bowl of milk for a cat. But the fact of the matter is, these people are desperate for attention. I love that the conservative tweeters think that they're different than liberals, saying that it's an age of narcissism and Obama's a narcissist. If tweeting is not narcissism, what is? Day and night, you're sending out your thoughts like the whole world cares what you think. The reason a woman of her intelligence would have done a thing like this, in my estimation, is because she was just jealous that she wasn't up there. Remember, in her heyday, she'd be on Fox News preening, flipping her hair, crossing her legs, the hacky laugh. I forgot, Superman used to have. So with the laugh, that hacky laugh, that kind of barfly laugh that everyone likes, but kind of the uptown barfly laugh, that kind of upscale barfly laugh that men seem to like. So she would have been on Fox News, sitting on a stool, better to show your legs, you know. And she would have been an immediate, let's go to our panel right now after the debate and ask them what they think. And what did you think happened today? Hair goes back, legs get crossed, the bar laugh goes out, and there she was. But no one's asking her to the party anymore. So she's sitting at home, very upset that she's locked out of it all. No radio shows. I guess the only one would have her on would be you, it maybe. Second, third tier radio hosts. And she gets angry, so she attacks Jews. Furious. Not a good thing to do. Who else imploded during these debates other than her? Some people, by the way, their careers are over. I'm not one of them. In case you say, my career's not over. It's doing very well, thanks. In fact, I have big plans right now for things that are going to happen that, if they happen, there'll be career jumps that you can never imagine. Right now, I'm working on them, and I have, and there's things in the fire that are big. I made a decision over the last few weeks to get bigger rather than to diminish myself. I made some decisions. I'm not going to talk about them yet. You know I have the big book coming out, Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture, in a month. That's all I have on the horizon right now. But there's some very big moves being made by big people in Hollywood and in New York that may or may not come true. You know how things are. They start as ideas. And then some ideas gel and some don't. Coulter, who has 660,000 Twitter followers, was reacting to the frequent mentions of Israel made by participants in the second televised Republican debate held Wednesday at the Ronald Reagan Library. And by the way, the Ronald Reagan thing, I know that I'm going to step on some... I am so over Reagan, I can't take it anymore. What is this worship of Ronald Reagan? What is this worship of the man like he was God? Here we go again. Ronald Reagan, the greatest man in the history of the world. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. All right, he was a decent president. Frankly, he had a mixed record, incidentally, as president, for those of you who may remember. See, I remember things you don't remember. I wasn't working for the government at the time in a back office screwing people as a lawyer. I wasn't collecting a government check from Ronald Reagan's administration. I'm kind of independent. Ronald Reagan screwed over the American farmer like you can't imagine. He destroyed the small farm in America. You don't know that. I saw it happen. I saw small farmers committing suicide across America with some of Reagan's policies. He was like Joseph Stalin to the small farmer. They treated them like kulaks. So what's the point of raising Ronald Reagan up to God's head? I don't get that. With the airplane and the worship and that, and in the back, there's Nancy Reagan. All right, already. She's not Martha Washington. God bless her, man. It's like, there she is. Okay, what? The world's moved on. Most people don't know who Ronald Reagan was. And the airplane, it's a little over the top for me. And another thing I didn't like is every 3 minutes, the applause. I turned it off a few times. What a dumb country this is. Can't we just have a question and an answer without morons clapping? What do you need an audience for? Why do you need a live audience of stooges like seals slapping their hands together? And why didn't they ask questions of all of the contestants of the contest, the popularity contest? Why didn't they ask them about Hillary Clinton's failures and Barack Obama's failures? Wouldn't you think that's what a reasonable moderator would ask an opposition party instead of trying to nail them to a cross? Yeah, well, you know, 30 pieces of silver and all that. Everybody at CNN basically are the equivalent of those who know when I say 30 pieces of silver. Jake Tapper is Pontius Pilate, and the rest are no different. They would destroy America for 30 pieces of silver, but they didn't get anywhere last night. Anyway, look, we're running short of time. I'll be with you for another couple of hours. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You heard me. I made a statement earlier about 30 pieces of silver, and I said that the moderator, whatever his name is, Jacob Woodpecker, he has the brains of a woodpecker, by the way, was the equivalent of Pontius Pilate. He really was not Judas. He wasn't Judas, and he wasn't really Pontius Pilate. He didn't rise to that level. The Judas in that debate would be someone who tried to undermine Trump in accord with CNN, and there were probably a few of them. I would say Lance Priebus, whatever his name is. I don't know his name, that weasel who runs the RNC. Where'd they get that character from? He would be a Judas, betraying Trump and the American people. But what does the phrase 30 pieces of silver mean? It describes the price at which people sell out. In Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, it is echoed in the 30 rubles which the character Sonia earns for selling herself. In Shakespeare's play, Henry IV, Part 2, the mistress of Falstaff asks and says, "And didst thou not kiss me and bid me fetch thee 30 shillings?" So it really is used to accuse politicians and artists of selling out their principles or ideals. And that's why we should all send Barack Obama a 30 pieces of silver as our token of gratitude to China.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It was really painful. I have to say this. I couldn't go on the full 3 hours. I gave up after 2.5. What was really remarkable is the degree to which they avoided the major issues facing the American people,
I
believe.
Schlemiel. Get him off the show. Just play the Schlemiel. We should have klezmer music for Bernie Sanders. Klezmer music is a sort of Eastern European Jewish music of the last century. Actually, earlier than that. And in Jewish folklore, Bernie Sanders exists. He would have been the village clown. Not so much like a guy who puts on a costume because there's something wrong with him, but everyone knows he's weak-minded, and they would have known him as the Schlemiel or the Schlemazel. Those are Jewish words for Bernie Sanders. They're not dirty words. He's a Schlemiel or a Schlemazel, which is the best that the Democrats can find, since Hillary Clinton is hiding behind her server somewhere, whoever it is serving her up to us. It was not a debate. It was an act. And it got worse and worse as the hours went on. I tuned in the beginning, then the clapping, I turned it off. Every 2 minutes a clap, my brain goes off. I hear clapping, my brain goes off. I have to turn it off. It's canned. What do they need an audience for? What kind of embarrassment is this country that we need an audience of stooges sitting there? That's number one. Then the second hour, they cut Trump out. And Woody Woodpecker, what his name is, Jake Woodpecker, tried to undermine everybody one after the other to earn brownie points from the Judases who run CNN. I wonder who the real Pontius Pilate is, though. That's the real question is. We know that the Judases run CNN. But anyway, that's just neither here nor there. I would have asked if I had been the moderator and certainly didn't apply for the position, nor would I get it. I would have asked the opposition party questions about the existing party. That would be a debate. In other words, you have all these gentlemen and one lady who are up there from another party who want to be president. We all know that the country is divided pretty strongly about what this man in the White House has done to this country. Make no mistake about it, he has his supporters, but he has people who would like to see him in jail for what he has done and what he's about to do, such as registering as many illegal aliens as he can before the election in order to warp the electoral process once again to make sure we get another illegitimate person in the White House. So there are a lot of people who hate Obama for what he's doing, not because of the color of his skin. And I would have, if it was a fair-minded debate, I would have asked all the members of this Republican Party what they would do if they were president, such as, if you became president, would you indict Obama for any crimes? And then ask each of them to give 30 seconds of an answer. That's not an easy question, by the way. If you really want to undermine Republicans, ask them that question. They're not smart enough to even think that way. Because no matter how they answer it, they're going to be called names. But I would ask them, would you indict Obama for any crimes if you became president, and which crimes? And then what charges would you bring against Hillary Clinton if you become president? Next question will be, what are Hillary Clinton's greatest policy failures? Fiorina, we'll begin with you. Donald Trump, you're next. Which federal departments would you reduce in size or eliminate? We'll begin with you, Lindsey Graham. I don't know who he is. How would you defeat ISIS? Do you plan on holding Black Lives Matter and other racist groups like them accountable for their actions? How do you plan on making our military strong again after Obama has gutted it? Those are the questions that I would have asked. Instead, you had Jake Woodpecker asking questions that you'd expect a Judas to ask. That's all. The whole debate was a debate. The whole show was a Judas job. So let's go on to the callers on the Savage Nation. It's hour number two, and it's post-debate conversation, which we could go on, I guess, right? A little bit. Pope Francis did it again now. Again, he attacked America. Days before a stop in Cuba on his way to the United States, the communist pope on Thursday told young people from both countries that government heads who fail to plant the seeds of future leadership are worthless dictators. Now, this is in a nation run by dictators. Oh, he's not in Cuba yet? The pope on Thursday responded from the Vatican to questions from students in Havana and New York during a CNN and Espanol teleconference on his initiative, blah, blah, blah. Asked by a Cuban student about the example of his leadership, Francis said, I will tell you one thing, a good leader is one who is capable of bringing up other leaders. If a leader wants to okay, whatever. What else did he say? Okay, nothing there. He's arriving soon. Think about that. A Catholic Church was basically thrown out of Cuba by the dictatorship. That's what communists do. And now the Vatican loves Cuba. That's because politically they're brothers. That's all. It's a terrorist organization, Cuba. It's a police state. It's an island, North Korea. It's North Korea with palm trees. Cuba is North Korea with palm trees. They get to play backgammon and they drive 54 Buicks. And that's their idea of a worker's paradise. Sounds like Berkeley, California, by the way. WBAP Doug, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, you struck a chord with me whenever you spoke about Ronald Reagan and how people always put him up on a pedestal. I grew up in, matter of fact, Ronald Reagan signed my DD-214. And sorry to say that Barack Obama signed my son's. The thing is about Reagan, people don't understand. He is the one that allowed the first 4 million of illegals to come into this country.
That is correct. He passed amnesty when he was president. That is right.
The American farmer held the price of food at a good level, and the hierarchies did not want that. So they created a subsidy where they were paying farmers to sit out their land. They shut down dairy farmers so the industrial milk industry could take it over so they control.
See, I'm the only one who knows that because of all the talk show hosts, I live in the real world. I did not work for the federal government for Ronald Reagan. I was not a sports jockey or a disc jockey during his administration. I live in the real world, and I remember seeing farmer after farmer commit suicide because of Reagan's agricultural policies. It's an obscure point, but it's an important point because I don't like deifying politicians of any kind, whether they be Democrats or Republicans, and I'm so fed up with this deification of Ronald Reagan. It's enough already.
I agree. I drove the tractors for a farming company. I was not the only, I was just a simple paid-by-the-day labor that drove the tractors. And I watched these two young men that took over their family farm, two brothers that split it in half and were doing each side. And I watched them over a period of 7 or 8 years completely destroy that whole thing by sitting it out and collecting $200 an acre on cotton subsidies and just letting the land go to nowhere.
You see, Doug, you understand these things. It's falling on deaf ears to my audience. It's so long ago. But Reagan was so long ago, and I don't like putting politicians on a pedestal when their history is a little mixed. It wasn't exactly all perfect. That was my whole point. Holding the debate in the Reagan Library unto itself was a little bit uncomfortable for me. Why would they choose that venue, by the way? What was the point? Why would CNN choose that venue, or was it the RNC who chose it? What was the point? I don't know. Okay, thank you for remembering that. I don't want to talk about subsidies. Here's a news break that's sad. Remember Donald Trump appeared the other day on the retired U.S. battleship Iowa with the three guns? Everyone remembers that, right? Take a guess what Obama did to them today. 2 days later, the evil dictator in the White House, through his IRS goon squad, revoked the nonprofit status of the Iowa benefit organization that hosted and sold tickets to the speech by Donald Trump. So if you think the IRS has been cleaned up, you're mistaken. Let me repeat it if you missed it. The evil dictator in the White House punished the Iowa, nonprofit Iowa group, trying to keep this battleship from being turned into a scrap heap, and stole their nonprofit status because they invited Trump to give a speech aboard the USS Iowa. So if you think Obama has learned anything by the IRS scandal, you're mistaken. I just thought I would give you a little update. Janice, no, let's go to line one, WJR in Detroit. Tom, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
I don't think Ann Coulter's comments offended Jews any more than Bobby Fischer's comments offended Jews, in the last 10 years of Bobby's life. I think people look at that they know Ann Coulter. They certainly knew Bobby Fischer, and the comments that were made. I don't think you can read a whole lot into that.
Well, when she tweets, how many effing Jews do these people think there are in the United States? You don't think that's offensive to Jewish people?
Well, I think if you could consider Ann Coulter and the comments that she's made over her lifetime, no, I don't think. I don't think no. I don't see doubt. I no. I think she's raising a point.
What if she said, how many effing Christians do these people think there are in the United States? Would you find that offensive?
No. No, I just think she's making a point.
What if she tweeted, how many effing Muslims do these people think there are in the United States? You think that would be offensive?
Not considering the whole context of Ann Coulter and where she's coming from.
Well, wait a minute. Put her aside. Here is a woman who writes books for a living and occasionally appears on television, radio, and she puts out a thing after the Republican debate accusing the candidates of pandering to Jewish voters, and she says, how many effing Jews do these people think there are in the United States? You don't find that at all offensive?
I'm repeating myself. In the whole context of Ann Coulter and her comments over the years...
Well, she also insulted evangelicals by attacking Huckabee, who was greatly supported by evangelicals.
I just think she takes...
All right, that's all. Ann Coulter's Jew problem, says Carol Brown. After the GOP debate on Wednesday night, Ann Coulter sent out the following tweets, as left-leaning Israeli newspaper Haaretz noted. Ann Coulter, Cruz, Huckabee Radio all mentioned Israel in their response to what will America look like after your president. At Ann Coulter, how many effing Jews do these people think there are in the United States? And next one, Ann Coulter, maybe it's to suck up to the evangelicals. So she lost the Jewish listenership, and she lost the evangelicals. I mean, the truth is, I have no idea why she's still popular at all. She is acting out a role of a young, haughty girl when she's 50-some-odd years old. The hair gesture, the flipping, and the, I don't care in your face. I'm in that business. And, okay, the truth is I don't have a mane of hair to flip. I'm not Donald Trump. Okay, so put the hair aside. And if I wore a kilt, I don't know. I don't think you'd look at the TV set as long as you look at those on Fox News. That's a leg contest. You know that if you took away the, if you put a burqa on all of the women on Fox News, their ratings would plummet? I just thought about that. It's not a bad observation. I think that in order to judge whether they're being listened to, you know, women like to say, take me for my intelligence, not my looks. I think they should put their money where their mouth is. And I think that the girls on Fox News should wear a burqa for a week and see what happens to their rate. Robert's laughing. It's not a bad idea. If Martha Washington wore a full burqa covering everything, I'd leave the eye slits. They're allowed to look through the slits to read the teleprompter. And then all you could hear is their voice, and you wouldn't see their bodies or their faces. I would say their ratings drop by 95%. It's not a bad thought, actually. Savage suggests Fox News hosts wear burqa for a week to see if we should respect the female broadcasters for their brains rather than their bodies. I think that would work. I think that would basically set out the rating standards. You know, we in radio wear burqas. You don't see us. You don't know what we look like. It's all based on... Do you know what's... See, here's the unfair advantage that they have. But I like this because this is all based upon brains and the ability to express ideas quickly. Radio. Radio is all about what we say. It's not how we look. It's the most difficult medium in the world. We don't have anything else to use. Oh, we have sound bites and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you're not listening for the sound bites. You're listening for this, for the occasional joke, the occasional insight, the ability to put things in context, the mood, the emotion, etc. So I don't know what I want to talk about. I think this thing is over. Can we stop it already? Maybe a few more calls. I'll take four more, and then I'm switching. I'm going to switch to another topic altogether today. It's already enough. Is it not enough already with the debate? First of all, who could watch it for 3 hours? Man, I don't know. I could say some things now that I would say if I was doing stand-up, but I don't think they would play on a national level. It could be worse than what Ann said. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Sorry to tell you, but Ann Coulter's Jew problem just got worse.
Iran's supreme hater Khamenei joins Coulter in lamenting GOP pandering to Israel. Just came out just now from the Times of Israel. Iran's supreme hater tweets that Israel is an imposed regime made through coercion, which won't last. This is while Obama is rushing to give them nuclear weapons. In a reference to the Republican Party debate, Iran's supreme hater lamented that presidential candidates try to satisfy Zionists. Now, many of you right-wing Jew haters agree with him. I think you ought to go just join ISIS and be done with it. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei referred to Wednesday night's CNN-sponsored debate in a tweet on Thursday, part of a series of anti-Israel tweets. And I won't read it, but he agrees with poor old Ann. He then went on to say that people in the West Bank should arm themselves for a fight against Israel. Khamenei also called for the West Bank to be armed to be ready for defense. I'm sure that Kerry will send the weapons necessary for their self-defense. Catch up, Kerry. So there it is. The world's changing in front of your eyes. That's that simple. That's a big story. I mean, it's really sad to see an otherwise intelligent woman. People are making mistakes now. She's not the only one. She made a big mistake, and I'm not going to make it worse for her. I have nothing for her or against her. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. But the thing is, I'm sorry, when you attack Jews like that, what do you want me to say? You look like a thug. Like a female Irish drunk of the 1950s who will go out and beat up Yids. You know, tie one on, have 15 drinks, and go out on 8th Avenue, look for a Jew with a yarmulke to beat up. WFTL, Matt, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. I don't think that she was being anti-Semitic at all. I think she shouldn't have used the F word, but I think the point she was making was that Republican candidates who do not get a lot of Jewish support Israel, and our point is that there aren't that many Jews in the country. Republicans don't get Jewish support, so that she was making...
Everything you say is correct, but why does she have to put the word effing in front of Jews unless that's her real feelings?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I kind of have to laugh when I think of, sounds like a non sequitur. He was asked whether or not he would be capable and it would be in good hands to be in charge of the nuclear weapons, and all of a sudden there's a sideways attack at me. I think that really goes to really the judgment. Do we want someone with that kind of character, that kind of careless language, to be negotiating with Putin? Do we want someone like that to be negotiating with Iran? I think really there's a sophomoric quality that is entertaining about Mr. Trump, but I am worried. I'm very concerned about him having him in charge of the nuclear weapons, because I think his response, his visceral response to attack people on their appearance, short, tall, fat, ugly, my goodness, that happened in junior high. Are we not way above that? Would we not all be worried to have someone like that in charge of the nuclear arsenal?
Mr. Trump, I never attacked him on his look, and believe me, there's plenty of subject matter right there.
Rand Paul, 1.2%. Trump, 46%. Newsmax poll. Rand Paul is, you know, come on, please, he's toast. You know what's interesting, though, is that here we got them attacking each other because of the Judas inside CNN. The whole network is basically Rome, and the Judas was Woodpecker there. And do you know the candidates on the other side, how old they are? Do you know that all of them are past the age of eligibility for Social Security? Bernie Sanders would be 75 if the commies elected. Hillary Clinton would be 69, and now they're digging up Jerry Brown. I don't know how they could even think of that. That's a laughing stock altogether. He would be 78 if elected. All of them would be past the age of eligibility for Social Security, and they like to make believe they're the party of the millennial and the young. It's astounding to me. I don't know. You think millennials watched that garbage last night? I don't know what they do. Who cares? I'm not one of these who look back, oh, I want millennials to listen to me. I don't care what you do. I don't care who you listen to. This is terrible. Khamenei agrees with Coulter. Khamenei, Coulter, Coulter, Khamenei. This is bad. Maybe they could offer her a position in the Iranian media. That might work. She could become sort of like Tokyo Rose. It'd be a big career there. I mean, if her career... You know what I'm saying? In order to survive, I told you, you have to adapt. And you got to go where the money is. Iran has plenty of money now. There's $150 billion. She could probably get herself a job on Iranian television, or the one that Al Gore sold, whatever it was called, it's dying. What's that called, that media outlet that Gore made money on and then it went broke? Whatever. Who remembers it? Hillary Clinton's favorite channel. I don't remember it. Khamenei joins Coulter in lamenting GOP pandering to Jews. But look, she also attacked the evangelicals. That's the horrible part about it. The evangelicals love Israel. So that's an important voting block. And she said maybe it's to suck up to the evangelicals. So she got a twofer out of last night. I'm sorry, it's a big point, incidentally, for a number of reasons. One, because had she not used the effing word, I would agree with her, by the way. See, her point is well taken, but the anti-Semitism trumps her observation of pandering to Israel. I myself have attacked Israel on the show. I've criticized Israel over and over again for being too important in our decision-making. I said I support Israel. I said it over and over again. Surrounded by the throwbacks around them, they're our only choice at this point. But I don't know what's in it for us at this point. You know, you talk about pragmatics, realpolitik. Can anyone listening to this show tell me what Israel gives America? It's like a one-way street. Like, what did Cuba give the Soviet Union after all those years? Nothing. So eventually the Soviet Union disengaged from Cuba. They had to stand on their own. I'm sorry to say it. It's a fact of reality. I heard the arguments going way back of why we should support Israel, right or wrong. I've heard them over and over and over again, and they were all wrong, you know, which is that they're only ally in the Middle East. No, they're not. Jordan and Egypt right now are fighting the war against ISIS. Israel hasn't lifted a finger. That's number one. Then I used to hear, they protect the Suez Canal and our oil supply. No, they don't. No, they don't. What does Israel do for us? So you could say, well, okay, that's not the reason. But what is the reason? What is the reason? Oh, my dog is mad at me now. He's barking to interrupt the show. See, I do my show out of a studio in an unnamed... Okay, Teddy, you made your point. In an undisclosed location, and I have a dog that protects me, all 11 pounds of him. If anyone comes near the studio, he's right there, like a pit poodle. He's right on him. Good job, good job. You'll get extra greenies tonight for that, Ted. You did a great job. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. We're going to move on, but let's finish up what we're talking about. Let's go to WMAL in Washington, D.C. Sam, please make your point. Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to say that Ann Coulter's use of a curse word, I think, isn't aimed at Jews. It's aimed at everybody except Jews. I think that the voting populace is who that curse word was aimed at.
Sir, the tweet said, how many effing Jews do these people think are in the United States? Who is that aimed at?
Well, the word effing there refers to the number of Jews. It's not an adjective describing the noun Jews. Her incredulity about the number, the fact that no one really knows how many Jews are in the United States. I mean, you do, I do, but she's aware that most people have no...
It's about 7 million, by the way, approximately the number of Jews killed by Hitler. That's how many are in the U.S. By the way, that's the answer. And then she said maybe it's to suck up to the evangelicals. Why would she go after them?
Well, in a weird way, again, see, this is what she thinks about Anne is she makes very good points in terrible ways that what she's saying there is true. They're pandering to the evangelical vote. The evangelicals like Israel because it's a landing...
Sarah, what do you mean by pandering to the evangelicals? What are they, an evil force in America?
No. I think that... In fact,
I would say that Hillary Clinton pandering to the communists or Hillary Clinton pandering to the illegal aliens would be pandering to an evil force. But what do you mean by pandering to the evangelicals? They're approximately a big part of the backbone of America. Why would you say it in such a derogatory manner?
No. I grew up in Oklahoma. I grew up with evangelicals, and I respect their viewpoint. I know what it
is. Well, that's what I'm saying. They're generally very moral, very hardworking, very patriotic Americans. Why would anyone disparage them?
I think that Anne, where she's unclear, is we want to disparage those Republicans for giving the evangelicals a message that they don't believe in. The evangelicals support Israel because that's where the Messiah will return. what we lose in all that.
Okay, but I've heard this from communist Jews, like Larry David did it as a comedy thing once. You see, paranoid left-wing Jews don't trust Christians at all. They actually are quite racist, I'm sorry to tell you. Paranoid left-wing Jews are very, very racist in my experience. And many paranoid leftist Jews distrust. When you say to them, but the evangelicals are the greatest supporters of Israel, you know what they say? Oh, yeah? Oh, you wait and see what happens when the Messiah comes. So they even doubt those who support Israel. If that's not a classic textbook definition of paranoia, I'd like to know what is.
The trouble is, no.
All right, that's enough on that. I'll get agita after this. Another 2 minutes on that. I would rather read Maximum Immunity in Portuguese than talk about the debate anymore. If this keeps up, I'll get out my Portuguese edition of one of my books published 20 years ago in Danish and start to read it in Danish. Can we talk about something else, God, if this news keeps growing? Khamenei joins Coulter in lamenting GOP pandering. Oh, it's getting bad. This is not good. 855-407-282. But listen to my main point. What is Michael's main point, in case you missed it? Any one of the candidates on the stage, including Fiorina, who I'm not a great fan of, would be better than Hillary or the commie, the soapbox commie. Any one of them would be better for this country. I could see any one of them as president. Do I have to read their names? Huckabee would make for a good president compared to what we have in the White House. Scott Walker would, if he put on a little weight again, okay. Okay, I would put an X through Jeb Bush. I wouldn't vote for him. If, you know, it's a funny thing. If it's Bush versus Clinton, will I even vote? I don't think I do a protest. It's the same end anyway. Same exact end. If it's Bush versus Clinton, I don't vote. I don't leave the country, but I don't vote. Christie looked good. He gained charisma. Kasich is a very smart man. He'd make for a good president. Ted Cruz is a genius. Brilliant. He'd make for a great president, but he's got delivery problems. Carson, I'd vote for him, but he doesn't have the charisma for the job. Rubio won't vote for him. If he's the candidate, I don't vote for him. He's a stooge of Silicon Valley and special interest from Miami. So who does that leave me with? I hope Trump is the last man standing, because I'd like to see him versus Hillary. I'd like to see a real debate. For that matter, I'd like to see Hillary debate somebody already. Okay? Now, again, I got to go back. If you missed it, I'm going to repeat something very important. Two things that I said today that I don't want you to forget, please. The vaccination question that came up. Trump had the smartest answer you could ever expect. I actually cringed before he answered. I was afraid it was going to be all over for him. Given that I know a little bit about the subject, and I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I know a little bit about it. I've studied it. I've read all the literature on it. I'm in favor of vaccinations up to a point. I know all about the mercury, that was used as an additive and this and that, and that was removed. I know that the studies don't really support a causal link between vaccinations and autism. However, there are definite side effects to vaccinations, number one. And number two, there are too many vaccinations. So Trump's answer was quite brilliant. I don't know if we have it, Robert. Do we have his vaccination answer? Yes, no, maybe. We will in a few minutes. Okay, play clip five. I want the people to hear Trump's answer.
A backlash against vaccines was blamed for a measles outbreak.
Hold on. I don't want to hear Woodpecker. I want you to take Woodpecker off. Can you just play Trump? I never want to hear Woodpecker's voice. Can we just hear Trump? Is it possible? Or we have to have Woodpecker and Trump. Okay, he's got to scrub out Woodpecker to get to Trump. I'll summarize it before he plays it. Trump said, and I was cringing, I was afraid he wasn't ready for this question, when he was asked the question by Judas, I said, oh God, he's way over his head here. He wasn't. He said, well, there are too many vaccines, and I have someone I know in my office whose baby was just given a lot of them, and they were very sick. 100% true. 100% true. And he said, we need fewer vaccines, lower dosages over a longer period of time. So then they go to Dr. Carson, who is a pediatric neurosurgeon. he would be a closer expert on this than anyone that I could imagine. And they thought Carson would undermine him. But Carson is such an honest man. He's so intellectually honest that he said that Donald Trump is correct. Did you hear that? And that upset Woodpecker. He thought that he'd have Carson rip Trump apart. Well, Woodpecker lost all credibility whatsoever at that. He should go back to Rolling Stone, Woodpecker, and report on rock and roll stars and how many drugs they ingest without collapsing or dying, and ask why are they born with special livers. Let's listen to Trump's answer.
25 years ago, 35 years ago, you look at the statistics, not even close. It has gotten totally out of control. I am totally in favor of vaccines, but I want smaller doses over a longer period of time. Because you take a baby in, and I've seen it, and I've seen it, and I had my children taken care of over a long period of time, over a 2 or 3 year period of time, same exact amount. But you take this little beautiful baby, and you pump, I mean, it looks just like it's meant for a horse, not for a child. And we've had so many instances, people that work for me, just the other day, 2 years old, 2.5 years old, a child, a beautiful child, went to have the vaccine and came back and a week later got a tremendous fever, got very, very sick, now is autistic. I only say it's not, I'm in favor of vaccines. Do them over a longer period of time, same amount.
He's right. The answer was brilliant. Right on target. So, you know, you can make a joke of Trump and you think he doesn't know what he's talking about if you listen to the to these underminers out there, all of these Judases in the media. But the fact is, the man is so smart that he can even answer a question on a subject he knows very little about and get it right, as confirmed by a neurosurgeon, a pediatric neurosurgeon. That was his finest moment. The other thing that I said, the whole thing of looks and Fiorina, what woman is going to not vote for Trump over what he said? What Republican woman would now suddenly not vote for Trump over what he said about Fiorina's face? They may not like it, but they're not going to disqualify him over that. So he's got a slight misogyny. That's all. A taint. A taint of misogyny. And I think women are kind of used to that. They don't like it, but they know that a lot of men have, you know, those inclinations behind the scenes, behind the curtain. And they figure if they got to take it along with the rest of it. But I still stand by my observation that while women would like men to take them for their brains rather than their bodies, I would think that the only way to discern or determine finally whether Fox's ratings are as high as they are based on the brains of the women or their legs, their lipstick, their hair, etc., is for all the women on Fox to agree to appear in a burqa for a week. A full burqa, head covering, etc., only eyes show, for 1 week. And let's see then if we listen to them for their brains or their looks. Think about it and get back to me. Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Learn. A few things I wish I could have done in my life. One, play the alto sax. Can't do it. Two, fly an advanced American fighter jet in combat in Syria and destroy ISIS in a convoy, the whole convoy, in one run, one sortie, take out an entire convoy, all the Toyota trucks. When I come back, I have some important things to talk about, including why should we support Israel? It's a very important question that came up on the show. Right now, we have Government Zero stabbing Israel in the back. Not only do we have no borders, no language, no culture under the Democrats, there's no Israel.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Beautiful time for me every day this time. means I survived another 2 hours of a trial by fire. I didn't lose my radio career. So far as I know, I still have a large audience. So far as I know, many affiliates. So far as I know, and here we are. So what came up in the last hour was interesting. It's about a, let's say a woman out there. We don't have to mention her by name. I don't want to hurt her in any way. Who said, how many effing Jews are there anyway? In reference to Huckabee and one other candidate, Cruz Huckabee, who she said, how many effing Jews do these people think there are in the United States? Then she doubles down and again stabs herself in the heart and says, maybe it's to suck up to the evangelicals. So I'm asking you a question. Why would an intelligent commentator do a thing like this? And the answer was clear to me. She was fuming with jealousy that she's no longer being called to sit up there on the stage and give her opinions after a debate. First of all, Roger Ailes has his chorus line. Secondly, you know, after a certain point, there's a shelf life. It happens to us. Time and gravity, you know, it happens to all of us. You look in the mirror, and no matter who you think you are, look at, go to a museum. It really puts your things in context. One of the reasons I love going to museums is it shrinks you when you come out. You see these marble statues of powerful Roman, not emperors necessarily, but regional commanders or regional emperors or rather regional leaders. And they're dead. Where are they? And speaking of that, the question is, Israel came up, and why is Israel important to us? Why should we be spending so much of our capital and so much of our international, let us say, reputation or world capital on Israel? Why? I'm going to ask you that question. And as I ask you that question, I want to point out something. NASA just released dramatic new pictures of Pluto. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Because I'm originally a science teacher, then a scientist. And we're living in one of the most amazing times in the history of man. What NASA is producing in their flybys of planets is awesome. I sometimes watch the NASA channel at night in order to clean my brain of the filth that Hollywood puts out. So the New Horizons historic flyby of Pluto shows icy mountains, fog, and the dwarf planet's landscape. It's astounding. Who would have thought we'd be looking at Pluto in our lifetime? It's almost science fiction when you think about it. And I understand Obama is sending a mission to Pluto to see if he can get the Plutonians to vote Democrat in 2016 to get Hillary over the finish line. I understand he's trying to sign up all the residents of Pluto as Democrat voters in time for the election. It is the savage nation. Pluto. It's not even a planet, by the way. Now, it's not considered a planet anymore. It wasn't classified as a planet. I don't know what they call it. Please don't call me on Pluto, but it's a fascinating image. I just saw it on Fox News. I linked it up on michaelsavage.com. And we don't know whether Obama is going to send a mission there for the voters yet, or whether Cheney wants to send an oil exploration mission to Pluto to see if he can drill up there. Okay, my friends, why is Israel important to us? I'm not going to talk about the debate anymore. Thank you for the calls on that. We know what it was about. We know that it was a setup. We know that Lance P. Priebus is the Judas of the Republican Party. I mean, the real Judas here is really not Jake Woodpecker. Jake Woodpecker is just the factotum. The real Judas is the head of the RNC, Lance Priebus, whoever he represents. I don't know who his Pontius Pilate is. I don't know who that would be. Colonel Sanders could be his Pontius Pilate. I don't like calling him Pilot. I like Pontius Pilate. It reminds me of Pilates, and has some modern context that way. But I mean, the real schlemiel here is Lance Priebus. Why aren't the Democrats having any votes? How could you, as a Democrat, you know, what I love is Democrats think that they're liberal and open-minded. What kind of party is this that they permit a Yenta from Brooklyn to say there'll be no debates? How could you tell us that you're living in a better, that you have a better party when you won't even show us who you have? It's unbelievable to me. KSFO Radio, Kim, you're up. What's on your mind, Kim?
I am a Democrat. I have been a loyal Democrat all my life, the only one in my family. And I am jealous because Republicans got what they need to learn to make an intelligent vote. In the meantime, I'm disappointed with Hillary. I'm disappointed that there's an assumption that they have my vote. Also, I was a commissioner on the Commission of Women, on the Commission of the Status of Women, and I am absolutely not happy with Hillary staying hiding behind the drapes. If she's going to win this election, she is going to have to speak up. She's going to have to open up about a lot of things, including...
Well, you know, and I know that there are many Democrats who are already very much enamored of Donald Trump. You know that.
I'm aware of that.
But why? Why are so many Democrats, since you're on the line, and you're not really a guest, but you're an intelligent listener from the other side of the aisle, why are so many Democrats enamored of Donald Trump, in your opinion?
For the same reason I listen to you. He's crazy brave.
He's crazy. Why must you put the word crazy in front of men you respect? Isn't that rather sexist?
No, it's not. Not at all. It's that you're...
Well, you say he's crazy brave. What do you mean crazy? What's crazy about Donald Trump?
He says things automatically. He does. There's no filter, just like you, Michael. There is absolutely no...
Right, but why does that make us crazy? You mean honesty is considered crazy to a Democrat?
No, not at all. But how often have you seen anybody looking to run for the presidency of the United States talk like he talks?
Okay, so now apply it to your favorite talk show host. You listen to me, even though you don't ever agree with me ever.
Of course, I do. I agree with you a lot, Michael. There's things
you don't think that this world is threatened by Islamofascism. That unless they're snuffed off the planet, we'll all be a slave to them within our lifetimes. You don't think that's a real threat?
I don't know.
That's because you haven't read it in the San Francisco Chronicle, because Willie Brown hasn't published it. You don't know what they're doing in the world. You don't know about the enslavement of young girls, the kidnapping, the rapes. That doesn't bother you as a woman?
Of course I do, Michael. Absolutely I do.
But that's why you listen to me. Because maybe you get information from this show that you can't get anywhere else. I don't know.
Exactly what I get.
All right, but I don't think you need to call Donald Trump crazy because he's brave. I don't think you need to call him crazy because he's smart. I don't think you need to call him crazy because he believes in America's borders, language, and culture. Why is that crazy? I guess compared to what Obama's doing, it is considered crazy.
It's unique. It's unique.
All right, it's different. Yes, it's different in a world of prepackaged answers to questions. I agree. The debate devolved into that when they said, who would you put on a dollar? Who would you put on a coin? Who's your favorite woman? I started to cringe. I couldn't take it. Then it became so boring, it was frightening to listen to Jake Woodpecker do a thing like that.
She, back in December of 14, there was an article...
Why is Hillary Clinton hiding, Kim? Why, as a Democrat, why is she hiding from debate? Tell me why.
Because she thinks she's got it in the bag.
You don't think she has something to hide?
Yeah, she's got something to hide, but that's not why. She thinks she's got it in the bag. She's got the whole infrastructure and an army of people that, in fact, did you know that Bernie Sanders actually came out and said that she attacked him by using some of her minions? She's got a huge infrastructure.
We understand she owns the machine, but we understand what a machine is. It's a corrupt machine. And don't you think that there are many Democrats who will not vote for her precisely because they know that she thinks the fix is in and that she owns them? Don't you think many Democrats are resentful and will post an opposition vote for any Republican but her just to say, go to hell, don't take me for granted?
As a Democrat, I think she needs to get off her butt. I think she needs to address us. I think she needs to be candid and genuine or she will not win. I don't know who...
Well, that's what I'm saying. But wait, but now you're agreeing with me. She owns the machine and she may, in fact, have the candidacy in her hands, but that doesn't mean she's going to get the election, does it?
And as a Democrat, what's left of me that's Democrat, I can't help it. I vote for Democrats. I want to support them. I'm not convinced I'm going to vote for anybody. I'm not convinced I'm going to stay a Democrat. These things are all in flux. If she wants to keep the machine going, if she wants to win, she needs to change and stop assuming our vote.
Okay. Well, I hear you. I'm not here to change your mind. And we'll have to see how it all plays out. But I think she's taking a big gamble here on playing the Soviet tactic of no debates. And I think hiding behind that vile fish mouth of Debbie Wasserfuhrmann Schultz, who was possibly one of the most unattractive human beings she ever could have picked as a... How could your party pick a woman like that as their representative? Can you explain that to me? How could a lowly Florida big mouth like her be suddenly so prominent in the Democrat Party? What does that say?
Because she's adorable. The women in Florida absolutely love her. They will...
Whoa. Hold on. Which women in Florida? They're more important than the women in New York or the women in Wisconsin, the Democrat women?
I don't understand what you're saying, Michael.
I'm saying, why would they pick someone as distasteful to listen to and look at as this Jewish fishmouth, Debbie Wasserfuhrmann Schultz? She's a stereotype. Why would they pick her to represent the DNC?
How many times has she been reelected?
Who?
Debbie Wasserman.
Yeah, but where? In a place where there's corrupt voting? The land of the hanging Chad? Where people vote three times and in New York as often as they can?
Where doesn't that happen? You saying California's voting is fair and honest?
Are you joking? There is no voting in California. There is no vote in California. It's a predetermination. All right, well, look, she doesn't have your vote is what you're saying. Let's go back to the bigger question is why should we support Israel? WJR, Ed, please explain why America should support Israel.
Israel is our proxy in the Middle East, astride 70% of the world's known oil reserves, in one of the most volatile and dangerous places, where there's virulent anti-Americanism and anti-Western values running amok.
And also, with all due respects to your statement, it's a little outdated because America right now has the ability to export oil. There is so much excess oil right now in America from fracking that we could export it, and Obama prohibits us from exporting oil. Do you know that?
Yes, but oil is a single market. If you lose the Middle Eastern oil market, then the price will skyrocket. It doesn't matter how much America exports.
But what do you mean by lose the Middle Eastern market? I'm not following you.
Well, if, for example, Israel, because of Israel... we don't have a nuclearized Middle East. If not for Israel, Iraq would have had a nuclear bomb, and also Syria would have one. And we know Iran has nuclear capability thanks to Obama. So Israel is the thorn. They're on the flank of political military Islam. If not for Israel, Europe would be under siege from two fronts. One from the south, from political military Islam, and then from the east by Russia. So Israel.
Well, listen, your argument for me would have more validity if I saw Israel fire one shot in this war against ISIS, but they haven't done so. Why not?
Well, I believe what they're doing is they're allowing both of those sides to attrit each other. I think we should do the same thing. It might be a good thing to supply both ISIS and any of our adversaries over there covertly, provide them arms so they'll kill each other.
Well, we are supporting the rebel groups in Syria. In fact, Obama spent $500 million, and he produced five soldiers for $500 million. That's your commander-in-chief. Can you believe that? He spent $500 million. They stole the equipment and killed the so-called opposition in Syria. That's the commander-in-chief. Barack Obama. We'll come back to talk about why should we support Israel, if at all, on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Weather update for Jerry Brown, the Pope, and Barack Obama. A day after Obama gave a speech about global warming, saying that the Sierra Nevada mountains had the lowest snowpack in 500 years, which unto itself is ludicrously false, it snowed in the Sierra Nevada. Here in the Bay Area, all of the global warmists were making... There's more money in warming than there is in heroin. You hear that there's a lot of money in illegal drugs, and I'm sure there is. But I understand that there's more money now, and it's safer to get into the into the warming industry than it is to bring in drugs. That if Pablo Escobar was an American, he wouldn't be smuggling cocaine into America in this day and age. He'd be lining up for one of the green energy grants, producing a solar factory, a solar plant in the middle of nowhere, producing 1 kilowatt. Along the lines of Obama spending $500 million to produce an army to topple Assad, an army now that consists of 5 people, and all the equipment is gone, taken by the enemy. Where's the $500 million that Solyndra took? I know the FBI investigated, but we never heard a follow-up on that investigation. Answer, Pablo Escobar. You get the picture. It's corruption. And, you know, people say, where's this going to go in a few years? It's never going to stop. It's never going to stop. It's a machine. It's so corrupt that it's almost impossible to stop it. They're going to continue the big lie. Lowest snowpack in 500 years. The next day, God rains snow down upon the Sierra Nevada. L.A., now you're going to see mudslides coming. Then you're going to have the El Nino, wet winter, mudslides. They're going to say it's because of global warming. Whichever way you turn, Jerry Brown, the Pope, Barack Obama, and the other know-nothings will tell you it's global warming. That's the new game because that's where the money is. That's all. So we can go on to these topics if you'd like. I can't wait till the Pope gets here. I can't wait for that fest. It's sickening what happened to this country that they'd invite a Pope to speak to Congress. It's an embarrassment. It's never, ever been done before. But the communist revolution is so complete that they dare do it. You're going to tell me Boehner is going to object? Or McConnell the gobbler is going to object to this violation of the separation of church and state?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So the debate last night is certainly on everyone's mind, and Huckabee is a darling of the evangelicals. And he was attacked by a female commentator who was a conservative who said, how many effing Jews are there in the world that they would constantly refer to Israel in these debates? And that set off a firestorm. So it leads us to the question today on the Savage Nation, a national radio program, if you don't know what you're listening to, with a huge following, of why should we support Israel? More particularly, why should leftists be pro-Israel rather than anti-Israel, which they should be, by the way. But I want you, the audience, to call and tell us why. The real reasons why. FTL, Fort Lauderdale. Judy, you're first up. Why should we support Israel?
Well, like you say, Dr. Savage, follow the money trail. It's monetarily. Since 1967 until the present time, the $3 billion that Israel, that the U.S. gives Israel comes back to the U.S., I would estimate now about $150 billion in scientific, technological, and intelligence information. In fact, in the 1980s, Chief of Air Force Intelligence General Keegan said that at that time, $3 billion came back to us as $9 billion. So go figure how much it is now.
But wait, sir, what do you mean came back to us in terms of intelligence?
Yes, absolutely. Intelligence.
You mean we have such intelligence that we can't defeat ISIS?
Well, we could defeat ISIS, but let me tell you that that's Barack Obama's problem. I mean,
I agree with you. Our commander in grief definitely doesn't want ISIS to go down. But right. You know, I've said this before, and I think it's been confirmed, Judah, that I'm sorry to tell you, Israel also was permitting ISIS to rage across the Middle East for their own political reasons. They also want Assad thrown down.
On that, I respectfully disagree with you because, remember, even though...
No, wait a minute. Let me finish why I say it. I'm not just doing it to be controversial. Assad and Iran support Hezbollah, which is Israel's enemy. So, therefore, they would like to take down Assad in order to weaken Hezbollah.
What you're saying makes sense, but you've got to remember that they liberated the Golan Heights, they are only within a few kilometers of Damascus. So Assad has never been a problem for Israel. Yes, it's true they support Hezbollah, but there hasn't...
Well, all right, I hear your point. I don't agree with it. I don't think we get back financially what we give them. That's a problem. the fact is that if you're a human rights individual, there's a good reason to support Israel. It's the only nation in that whole area that supports human rights, irrespective of what the left has tried to say about Israel. You have to look at the reality rather than the lies that are coming out of the left, especially the campus leftists. They say nothing about China's crackdown. They say nothing about the ISIS rape and kidnapping of girls. They say nothing about what goes on in North Korea. Yet they focus on the little nation of Israel because they want to eliminate Israel. And why does the left want to eliminate Israel? Ask them that. Ask the leftists why they join the Islamists on campuses in particular to destroy Israel. Why? They don't have a better target than Israel? They couldn't divest from Iran? They couldn't divest from North Korea or from China? Why are they attacking Israel? So you got to understand that a lot of these leftists are crazy, totally crazy. Leftists say they oppose authoritarianism, they oppose dictatorship, they support popular democratic rule. Israel has a vibrant parliamentary democracy with a broad range of views represented, and many of you people don't even understand it, that Arab parties and communists have long had representatives voted into the Israeli Knesset. How come we don't have such a parliamentary system here? Now, what is the what is that like in Egypt, Syria, Saudi Arabia? The answer is there's no democracy there at all. So what do the leftists really want? At the end of the day, they just hate Jews, even if they're Jewish themselves. That's because their communism trumps their ethnicity. And that's the same with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders' socialism, communism, slash whatever you want to call it, trumps his ethnic origins, which is why he's so popular in the America of today, because the American left has the same exact mentality. KSFO, Zev, why should we support Israel? Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. Well, I think we should support them because a lot of American military technology actually comes out of Israel. I can name a few if you like.
Please do. I think it would be important for the edification of the listener.
Well, for one, the unmanned aerial vehicles were developed and designed in Israel, and they have the Pioneer and the Hunter brand. They're the ones that are used by American technology, by American military. Also, for example, they also have the navigation for the pilots. The pilots, they have a navigation where they can navigate with their eyes. They can navigate the missiles just by looking at the screen.
That's an Israeli invention? That's an Israeli invention, Zev?
That's correct. It's an Israeli
invention. Unbelievable. Yeah, that's astounding. Yeah, I've seen helicopter pilots and attack helicopters where they can look through an eyepiece in their helmet, attached to their helmet, and actually direct the fire of their missiles without moving their hands.
The anti-missile tiles on the tanks, which explode outwardly when the missile hits the tanks, were developed in Israel, is used by American technology, is by American military.
It's all beautiful what you're saying. I only wish we had a commander-in-chief who would use the military in the proper way. That's the part that's missing here.
Top it off.
Well, why do you think Obama is supporting Iran, then, against Israel, Zev?
I think it's completely illogical, but I think the reason why he's doing it is purely, I mean, I think because he's Muslim and because his pure hatred for Israel, for the Jews. There's no other reason.
So he is like the left itself, demonizes Israel and hates Jews.
Yeah.
So you're not taken in by the yarmulke at Hanukkah in the White House. You're not taken in by the Sponge Cake Act.
Not at all. Michael, I just want to add something to what I said also. As far as the technology, not just military, agriculture, medical technology that America uses, a lot of it comes out of Israel. A lot of research and development companies such as Intel, Motorola, IBM, you name it, they all have their offices in Israel, most of them.
I'm glad we're having this discussion because it's very easy to make the assumption that Israel's simply a basket case that needs the support of America, and without America they wouldn't exist. So what you're doing now is bringing some facts to the discussion that we may not have known about.
Also, Israel has over 3,000 high-tech companies which America utilizes. St- stuff that was developed in Israel, you wouldn't even believe. As far as their agricultural developments, the drip irrigation, for example, which saves water, which is being used in California in the drought areas, the drip irrigation, that alone is worth everything. I mean,
I assume that you yourself are a Zev, you are a technologist?
No, I'm not. I was just listening to you, and I just Googled, you posted.
You're pretty fast, though. You're pretty fast at what you do. I mean, you got some answers for us, and I took, let us say, the devil's advocate position of why should we support Israel in a sort of cynical way, and you're answering, I think, beautifully.
I know some of you also keep in mind that per 10,000 people, there's 145 scientists and technicians in the Israeli workforce versus 85 in America.
Yeah, for the same population number, yes. I understand it's sad that the whole world has turned on the nation of Israel, but that's because Obama has chosen the chosen people to stigmatize them and try to drive them into the sea.
Right.
I think, I don't want to go into this, but I think Obama is a reincarnated ancient Iranian, very much like Haman. He is sort of the Haman of the Israeli Israeli history, Haman was. It's not Khomeini that's the threat to Israel's survival. It's Obama. But, you know, Zev, I have to broaden it. You know the entire Democrat Party has turned on Israel? You know that as well, don't you?
I follow what's happening. I listen to you daily, so I mean, I follow what's happening.
Yeah, it's terrible. Well, Zev, stay on the line and give your name to Jim, because when Government Zero comes out, I want to make sure you get it, because of the callers I've had today, you're going to explain to your listeners what's going on, your friends, rather, what's going on. I think this is a great show. KKAT, Mike, why should we, if we should, support Israel, Mike? Give us some answers.
Well, I have three reasons why we should help Israel. But first, I'd like to just say, do you remember that Governor Huckabee pardoned three or four murderers, and they went out and murdered again, and he pardoned some rapists, and they went out and raped some women, and he didn't even say he was sorry about that?
Don't know that part of I know the issue came up because Huckabee is a great supporter of Israel, as an evangelical himself, I believe he supports Israel, and he was attacked for that by a female commentator, and that's how this got started today.
All right. Well, anyway, just I don't want a future president pardoning murderers because he's nuts. Now, to get to Israel. The Bible says that he that helps Israel will be blessed by God, and he that hurts Israel will be cursed by God. So if the United States helps Israel, we'll be getting blessings. Oh, I don't think.
Well, do you think we're being blessed right now?
No, not with Obama as president, because he's not helping Israel.
All right, you make your point from the biblical law standpoint. BAP Dallas, Brian, why do you think we should support Israel?
Okay, Michael, I can think of at least four reasons, and the first was going to be biblical for me as well. But there's also a strategic reason in that when that region blows up and we get involved in another ground war, Israel will be the only place that we can stage troops without having to worry about the population turning against us and attacking us from the rear. Politically,
okay. Hold it. That's an important statement, Brian. Do you think that region will ever blow into a full-scale ground war?
I think the Middle East will, absolutely. And I think they'll all come against Israel.
Well, I think that would include the United States. I think under Obama, he turned the U.S. military against Israel.
I think he would be, at worst, neutral, because I don't think the American population would support a war against Israel. But
well, the American population doesn't support Obamacare. The American population doesn't support bringing 100,000 Muslims in from Syria. The American population doesn't support Obama's policies in any way. They never have and they never will. That's never stopped this dictator before. I don't think anything will stop him. There's no opposition to this man.
That's true, but you have to remember that the U.S. military still has the right to refuse unlawful orders, and attacking an ally would fall into...
Well, that's a great question. Who is the U.S. military? He has conducted a purge going back many years. He's decapitated all the combat generals who would have blown the whistle on Benghazi. Who is left to actually stand up to him in the military? He's done what Stalin did, but instead of shooting them, first he debased them with lies, and then he threw them out of the military. And I name all of them in a whole chapter in Government Zero. It's one of my biggest issues, national security. I point out which generals he's fired. People said to me, be specific. I have their names. I don't know where this military is, this imaginary military.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And he's trying to turn the military ideologically to the left with a...
You know, I have to raise this issue in an uncomfortable manner. The progressive army that Obama has created is not the army or military that you may think it is. He has done everything he can to throw out the leadership in the Green Berets, in the Navy SEALs, in the military. And so the general army, which is a lot different than the groups I just mentioned, has been so brainwashed into becoming a progressive army, I don't know what kind of war it can fight. Do you know that in 2016 he can issue an executive order? Well, I don't know about 2016. You know, it's coming along very soon. Mandating that all social, environmental, and other federal regulations be applied to all branches of military service. And do you know what a military would look like then?
Absolutely.
Here's another thing that I want you to think about, and this one worries me very deeply. You see the surge of the millions of refugees that are pouring into Europe, and what Europe is trying to do now to stop them? My worst nightmare is that the Arabs send 5 million people against the Israeli border. Hordes of humanity come right through Iraq and march on Israel. Not as soldiers, babies in their arms, old people, and they send 4 or 5 million people against Israel. Tell me what Israel's options would be then. I'll be back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. Last night's debate, we saw Jake Woodpecker try to take down Trump, and he came out without a beak. We saw that Lance Priebus, or whatever his name is, that weird name of the Republican National Committee, is the Judas who tried to betray the Republican Party. And we understand the American left would like to see Israel disappear. So I would like to raise this concept for you on the left, if you can still think. If tomorrow Hamas and other Palestinian groups unilaterally put down their weapons, what would happen? Peace. If tomorrow Israelis unilaterally put down their weapons, what would follow? Millions of dead Jews or exiled Jews. End of story. Anyone on the left, like Bernie Sanders, who does not see this, is living in another universe. They're living on Pluto. Leftists who support peace must support Israel and not live in a fool's world. A fool's world of the University of California at Berkeley. Now, we're going to go back tomorrow to the open mic format. God willing, I'll be here. Because each day is not a given for me. Do you take each day as tomorrow will come? The sun also rises? Do you actually know that tomorrow you will awaken? I hope you do. But actually you don't. It's a miracle. Each day is a new birth. You know that each day that you wake up and you're alive, it's a birth, a rebirth, and you have a chance to start again? Awake, ye sleepers all. Each day is a new day, a new world, a new dawn. And we have to pray each morning. First, we have to thank God for giving us life. And then we have to thank God for giving us a brain. And then we have to say to ourselves, God, what did you give me this brain for? What am I using it for? At least that's what I think. Tomorrow is another day. The sun also rises.